The Fan on Demand.
Three minutes after 11 o'clock on this Friday, long weekend, Friday, August 29th. Get out there and enjoy it, but be safe. Don't do anything stupid. I know it's hard for some of you. What a busy show. Mike Wilner off the top, David Clarkson, Jeff Garcia, LaShawn McCoy, Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan bringing it. Bringing it. Laying his heart on his sleeve, talking about his down times. We're going to have George St. Pierre on before noon and Tim Bezbachenko, but it's my pleasure to welcome two guys that are very dear friends of mine. And, you know, I'll get ripped from some people on Twitter. Oh, you shouldn't have your friends on the air. Whatever. The Real _ Ty Domi and Scott McKay, who's the honorary chair for Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer. And in light of all the stuff that's been going on with the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, I wanted to shed a little light on something that affects so many people. Scott, thanks for doing this. Ty, how are you this morning? Thank you for doing this.
Good, Joey. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It was nice to see you the other night at the TFC game, and
that was my first. It was really exciting.
Yeah, it was great. And we're going to have the general manager on before noon. It's a great atmosphere down there, right?
Isn't it? I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe I was actually in Toronto. I felt like I was in Europe. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Scotty, how are you this morning?
Good, Joey. What's going on, man?
You know what? Just having some fun on the radio, but this is a serious topic. And look, it's something that so many people who listen to this show and people that we know, friends, people that we love, have been affected by. Cancer is something that there's been a ton of progress made, but there's still no cure. And Scotty, you know, you went through and are going through your own battle with it. You know, you got a lot of friends who love you. You were with the Toronto Maple Leafs for a long time. You were the trainer for the team, and a lot of players that you helped, guys. And I know Ty is one of those guys who always took care of the trainers. And that's something that, you know, not every player does at the end of the season. The trainers are guys that don't get a lot of recognition, but when you need a stick in the middle of battle, when you need your skate sharpened and when you need other things done, you guys are the first guys to do it. But tell me about your experience and what you went through in your battle.
Well, you know what, Joey, in life, everybody's got their battles. You know, like you said, the ALS, a great cause going on, but cancer, I hate to say it, everybody knows someone who's been diagnosed. Fortunately or unfortunately, I was one of the chosen ones, and it really puts life into perspective for you. You know, people you consider friends are, they really come out. Guys like Ty, you know, like you said, I've known you and him for, you know, 25 years now, and geez, that really helps you guys. You know, positive guys like that get through stuff like this. You can't shed light on how much it means to you when a guy like that comes into your hospital room when you haven't seen anybody in a couple of days.
So talk about your involvement and how you got involved. I know you have a long-standing relationship with Scotty, and you're a guy that's always there for your friends. And look, you did it during the course of your career. You played the most playoff games in Leaf history. You had the most penalty minutes in Leaf history. You're one of the most loved guys in Leaf history. You're also one of the most controversial at times, but you're definitely a guy that has always stepped up for his teammates. And tell me how you felt, you know, when you found out that Scott was diagnosed with cancer and what happened after that.
Well, it's one of those things where you just have to go right at it, and you just got to be positive. And I think the mental part is always the most important, and the mental toughness. You know, like you said, I did have the most fights in NHL history, but everybody was twice my size. So if I never had that mental toughness to think that I was going to win, I wouldn't have had a chance. So I tried to pass that on to Scotty, and Scotty's done a great job, and I think he's a great inspiration for people. And I remember when he woke up and he looked and he saw me standing there, and he says, "What are you doing here?" And he just had a long surgery. I think it took a whole day. So it was one of those situations where you just have to react. There's no time to respond. Everybody just has to you know, rally around somebody, and you know, it's part of life. And Scotty is like a brother, and you know, he used to tie my skates in the playoffs when I had a broken hand, and he did a lot of things for me every single day, day in and day out. So the least I could do is be there for him, and he's a special person, and he's got two young kids that need him around. So we're there for him, and this Road Hockey Conquers Cancer, I got involved a few years ago because Kenny Tannenbaum asked me to be on the En Route team, and his wife was touched by it, and we rallied around her, and then Scotty got involved, and Scotty's honorary chair now. And obviously it got more attention with ex-players, and Mats and I got involved last year because Scotty's honorary chair, and we're just trying to rally it, and I think they're pretty close to being sold out. And like you said, Joey, the ice bucket challenge, whatever you could do to help people, you know, everything is... you know, always a positive when you're helping a charity out, and especially when you have so many people who are touched by it.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's the fourth annual Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer, Saturday, September the 27th at Ontario Place. And I remember when it started, and now you look back and you've raised over $7 million for cancer research at Princess Margaret Cancer Center. And that's one of the top five cancer centers in the world. And it's 150-plus teams playing five games each. There's food, there's beverages, massage therapy, live music. You can go to teamuptoconquercancer.ca. Now, Scotty, did you think it was going to grow into this? I mean, 150 teams. How competitive does it get? Do the guys get pretty competitive on this?
Oh, geez. You know, I it was my first time attending last year, and I was shocked at how competitive it got. Recommendation for any of the players out there: you might want to draft Ty. It gets that competitive because it's. It gets pretty fierce at times, Joey. Maybe you should fly in from L.A. You might
Scotty,
have to practice.
Scotty.
Hold on,
people,
Scotty.
If people want to win and score goals, they want me, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? Ty never gets enough credit. He doesn't get enough credit for that snapshot. Listen, Max got it from somewhere. It probably wasn't.
Seriously, Joey. Joey, you know better than anybody.
Could be his mother, Max.
Our first strike here. You remember that game?
Oh,
at U of T? Come on.
Yeah, I remember when we did a charity game back in, wow, I mean, this is dating ourselves, back in like 94, and we did the charity game at Varsity, and it was the Leafs and ex-Leafs versus the rest of the NHL. And Ty wasn't yet a Toronto Maple Leaf. He was a Winnipeg Jet. And
nobody, but he's the leading scorer.
That's right. You in the game, you were, and we had Gilmore, and we had Andrejczyk.
Question is, who was in net though?
It was actually it was Healy. Healy was one of the goalies, and Felix Potvin was the other goalie. So,
okay. So
Ty, getting involved in this charity and road hockey to conquer cancer. You got Daryl Sittler involved. You got Paul Coffey involved. You got Marcel Dion involved. Scotty, name some of the other guys that are involved. I know, is Matt's coming back this year? Is he going to be here? Or is he in Sweden?
No, Matt's just built a new house there, so it's pretty tough to prime away from that thing.
Ty just threatened him on the air, so I think he's coming.
I hope. Nick Kiprios.
Seriously, I went down to his housewarming. He can't come down for a charity for Scotty. Give me a break.
Who else, Scotty? Tell us who else is involved.
Well, Glenn Healy himself is involved. He's him and Kipper are going to do a little emceeing along with a little bagpiping. Ty, of course.
And Kipper. So wait a second. So Kipper's going to be playing some bagpipes, or is
no,
that
no? No, Greeks run when they hear those things.
Yeah, he's going to be playing the bazooki.
Yeah,
that's what he's going to be playing. So
that's right.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And there's a celebrity draft. I think everybody gets to have a couple of celebrities on their team. And if you look down the list, yeah. I mean, Glenn Anderson's going to be involved. Jesse Barfield, Dave Betts from Honeymoon Suite, Rod Black, Laurie Boschman, Brian Berard, Paul Coffey, Damian Cox. I mean, it's a great lineup of people. Pat Hickey, Peter Ng, Angela James. It goes on and on. I mean, Chris Kontos, George LaRocque, Gary Lehman, Hazel May from Sportsnet, Kevin McGuire, Brad Marsh. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's such a great cause. And again, the website is teamuptoconquercancer.ca. And before we let you guys go, Ty, I got to ask you this, just, you know, a couple of things. Your thoughts on the reports of the second NHL team and the NHL expanding. And listen, you played most of your career in Toronto. Do you think Toronto could handle a second NHL team? What kind of support do you think it would get?
Well, I think it would take, if the team came here as an expansion team, I think it would take a while to turn things around. But I think New York can survive with the Yankees and the Mets. Toronto can definitely survive with two hockey teams. And I think it would let that many more people watch live NHL hockey, which would be great. And, hockey's a culture. Hockey's a big part of our culture in Canada, and I don't think you can ever have enough teams. And I think Quebec, like Don Cherry said, I think, is number one on the list, which is great. And Winnipeg has a team back there. So, I'm excited about the game and the way it's going. And watching the playoffs last year obviously was so exciting. The kids these days are just unbelievable. And the speed, the size, the talent, and it's just it's unbelievable to watch. So the game is doing wonders, and it's going to keep growing. And I'm excited to keep watching it.
What do you think is going to happen this year? Look, the Leafs, last year, again, they were a lock to make the playoffs and somehow didn't make the playoffs. And the guys took responsibility for it. You didn't have guys ducking out on it. We had David Clarkson on the show earlier, and David's a guy who knows that he's got to be better, and he's the first guy to tell you that he's got to be better. But, Ty, what do you think of the pickup of a Dan Winnick, of a Stefan Robida, Roman Polak, bring him back Komarov? It seems like they went out after a certain type of player in that they brought guys in here that were little pieces of teams, but would seem to be, reasonably important pieces of those teams.
Well, I think it's everybody from day one just focuses on, the next game instead of looking too far ahead of themselves and keeping things balanced and not getting caught up and reading about how good they are or when things aren't going great, how bad they are. And, I've always said, when you block those things out and just focus on what you got to do. And athletes are highly paid. They're highly paid athletes. And that's part of the profession. When you come to a market like Toronto or Montreal, those are things you got to be expected. You can't be surprised. And you just got to perform. And when you perform and play hard every shift and you get the results and you get the goaltending, I think even if you're an average team, you make it to the playoffs nowadays, it's a game of mistakes. And I think any team's got a good opportunity, especially if you get goaltending. And, I hate to say it, but, we had Cujo and Eddie, and I don't think we had great teams, but we had good teams that made us great teams with goaltending. And I wish them luck, and I just hope they understand it's a long season. It's not the first 20 games. It's not 40 games. It's not 60 games. It's 82. You got to play every single one like it's your last. And I think if they have that that kind of focus and understand that it's not a 20-game season or 40-game season, it's 82, and that's what they got to do as a group, not just the individuals.
Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer, Saturday, September the 27th. Ty Domi, Scott McKay, thanks for doing this. And Brady and Walker are going to be auctioning off the following to raise money. 4 tickets to the owner's suite for the Jays and Rays on Friday, September the 12th. And the that's going to benefit Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer. And you're going to get to meet Jerry and Joe in the booth. And thanks again, guys, for doing this. You can go to teamuptoconquercancer.ca. Scotty, thanks a lot. And Ty, thank you very much for doing this.
My pleasure, guys. My pleasure.
Thanks for having New York.
I wish the Jays luck, but I'm sorry I'm not there to watch Derek Jeter.
Hey, I know your buddies with Jeter. We got Tim Bezbachenko right now, the general manager of Toronto FC, on the line. Tim, thanks a lot for doing this. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. Hey, Joey, how are you?
I'm well. I was at the game last Saturday and watched the passion of your fans, and BMO Field is just... it's a great place to see a game. And, it was a tough result with the Chicago Fire in the 90th minute tying the game. But you're still in a pretty good position. And you got, 10, 11 games left in the season. So this is a team that can make the playoffs for the first time in its history. As a team, are you feeling any pressure to do that?
Yeah, no, we're not feeling any pressure. I think that the goal from the beginning, obviously, is one of the reasons I was, I came in here, and we made some changes in the off season. Bring in Michael Germain, D-Row back, Gilberto. We made, obviously, a number of changes throughout the year, but the goal is the playoffs. But I think we have the talent assembled to actually do more. And I think, actually, the expectations are to make the playoffs, and really anything can happen from there. But we believe we can play with the best teams in MLS. Unfortunately, we haven't shown the consistency as of late that we would have liked. But we have 11 games left. And we play against some opponents that we should be able to pick up some points. We have a couple games in hand on a couple of our teams that are chasing us for that third spot in the playoffs. So things are still looking good, but there is a sense of urgency now, and we're not going to shy away from it. We're gonna attack it head on.
So you say the consistency is something that you were missing, and look, you're playing catch up. You got games in hand seen as potential points, but you know, if you look at something that really stands out to me, you've got just 3 wins in your last 12 and collecting 12 of 36 available points, and Columbus has climbed back. You still have a game or two in hand, but you got to start making some hay when the sun shines, right?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, we made a number of changes throughout the year and in the off season, so you knew it was going to take some time to gel. But in MLS, it's about, you know, that how you finish the year, because you need some momentum going into the playoffs. If you look at a team like Montreal, who just snuck in last year, they really were on a downturn at the end of the year, and then they bowed out in the first round. So you really want to have some momentum, some energy, some good vibes, and I think that's where you see over the last 12 games, like you said, we've only won 3 games. We picked up some other points. We've had some injuries, but at some point there's no excuses, and we need to go out there and show that killer instinct. I think on Saturday it was a great game for the fans. I think the CNE, you know, it provides some energy for the atmosphere. I think it was a really, really fun day. But at the end of the day, we got to be able to finish out games and show that killer instinct in the 90th minute. We weren't able to do that. But I think the guys know how important it is now to do that, and I think they will.
So how do you think, you know, look, Defoe's missed some games, but how do you think Defoe has impacted your team? He scored, he needed to score, he scored. Byron Defoe as a Red, what's the assessment so far?
Defoe's been fantastic. I mean, in a time when we had a lot of transition with a lot of new players, it was going to take some time to gel. We were certainly playing more of a, let's be safe defensively at the beginning of the year and play sort of more of a counter-attacking style, relying on Jermaine. And he stepped up, and he had 11 goals, and he has 11 goals. Now he's been hit with a little bit of a groin as of late, but you gotta look back and say, hey, he's basically played a continuous season going back through last year with Tottenham. So it's important for us to look at, the whole team. And what's happened now is you see other players stepping up, and Gilberto and Luke Moore and other people sort of taking the burden off Jermaine to score every game and take it upon themselves, which is great. So overall, Rand's been A+ for us. He's a great professional. He sets a high standard, and I think he's helped raise the level of practice and the level of games this year for us.
So 11 games left to, we remember famously the marketing slogan of this is a bloody big deal. So we're going to see how this bloody big deal ends. But, we know that in MLS, it's really not how pretty it is, but what happens once you get into the playoffs. And look, you got to forget about the past, but it's been some time since you first met New England this season. And BMO Field at the start of May, New England beat you there, and you've got your work cut out for you moving forward with this team.
No doubt. We have 11 games. That's 33 points available. If we get sort of a 1.5 points per game or basically half those points, we're going to put ourselves at 50 points. We're in a very good position. But we're going to have to step it up and beat teams like New England, who we weren't able to beat the last time we played. I think we're going through a sort of a transition at that time. It was right after, right during sort of the Amway Canadian Championship mix. But right now, they just signed Jermaine Jones. There's some excitement around their camp. They're going through a little bit of a transition. They haven't had results lately. So they're going to be coming looking for 3 points. So we need to make sure that our house is a fortress, and we need to show that killer instinct. And then we go to, you know, I don't want to get ahead of it, but we go then play a away and home series with Philadelphia, which is sort of strange in MLS. But what we can do is treat it sort of like a playoff a game where we do play home and away, and try to you know pretend like we are in the playoffs and we're going to advance beyond Philadelphia. So if we can get some good results between New England and these two games against Philadelphia, put us in the driver's seat for the next for the last eight games.
Are you proud that five of your players have been called for Canadian national team duty?
Absolutely. That's always a goal for an individual to be called up by his national team. You know, one of our goals here is to help develop Canadian soccer players and to help see the Canadian national team hopefully make the World Cup. So any way we can help, we will.
Yeah, I mean, look, De Rosario, no stranger, but you know, Henry and Morgan and Becker and Roberts, all reasonably young, and it just again bodes well for the future of your team.
Absolutely, and we have a number. You know, Greg Bannon, we have as our academy director and assistant GM, and he's really focused on developing our young Canadians and doing some really exciting and innovative things here. And so we think that number will grow over the next few years. So we're excited about supporting their program at the CSA. They have a new player pathway that we're supporting, and we have a relationship down in Wilmington where we have players down there sort of in the sort of minor league setup, and they're doing well. So things are looking bright for the future of TFC, and we're excited about that.
Before I let you go, look, Tim Lewicki's leaving. We had him on the show earlier in the week. He has been the biggest supporter of Toronto FC, bar none. He's the biggest fan. You know, I think he really cut his teeth in MLS when he was with AEG because they had so many of the franchises early on before the league really became solvent and became a sport to be reckoned with in North America. So what do you say to TFC fans moving forward when the guy who was really the biggest backer and the guy that brought a lot of this talent and was instrumental along with yourself in bringing this talent like Bradley, you know, and like Defoe and Gilberto to this team, what do you say to those fans moving forward?
Yeah, I tell them not to worry. I think what Tim has done, he has been a champion of soccer and MLS generally over his career, and what he's done in Toronto is sort of educate, I think, the board members and the city in some ways. I think we've always had educated fans, but I think we've shown the light on TFC and said, hey, look, we have world-class players here. And obviously I came in under his regime, and we were able to go out and sign designated players. And now we have them under long-term contracts. So now, if that changes, we believe we can go out and through our contacts certainly sign additional designated players. So if that's people's concern, I don't think they should be, because our board supports our vision and our long-term vision. And then, like I said, I think we are looking at a new strategy over the next few years where we're really going to build out of our academy, which allows us, you know, opens the space for new designated player signings, but it gives us the flexibility. So I think he obviously was a champion. We're gonna miss him, the day he leaves. But I think we're in good hands. I think we're on a great path, and I don't see us sort of veering off from that path that he has set and that we have set.
Talk about the academy. Look, there's a Raptors training facility being built. The MasterCard Center, you know, opened several years ago and is state of the art. Academy is so important, and grassroots is so important for every sport, but I think for soccer, it's particularly important in a market like Toronto.
It is, and what's funny is that, you know, some people don't realize that in the soccer market, you can actually develop players directly for your first team, and they would circumvent the draft. They're called homegrown players. It's similar to how it works all the way around the world, where if you have a good academy that's producing players, then you don't have to go out in the international market to buy them, per se. So unlike, you know, the NHL and the MLB and the NBA, where you basically have to build through some sort of draft mechanism, we have the ability to develop professionals here that are loyal, that are Canadian, they're from Toronto, and they sort of, you know, they play for the crest. And that is what's different. And what Toronto has been doing over the last few years, and what we're able to do by building the Kia training ground up in Downsview, is to set ourselves apart from the rest of MLS. We have a $21 million facility up here that is the envy of really everyone in North America. It is a recruitment tool. Michael Bradley said that it is one of the best facilities, even in comparison to anywhere around the world. So our vision is to be internationally recognized and a consistent contender of championships. And for because of our facility and what we're doing at our academy, we're starting to get some recognition in North America and internationally for sure with the facility. You know, it's funny because Tottenham has been here recently, and the Brazilian national team was here last summer, and it's not, you know, it's not unrelated that Julio Cesar decided to come back because he decided to sign with TFC after he had seen the facility. So the academy is really important. It provides a mechanism for us to change our roster and become deeper with Canadians over the next few years. So we're doing some really neat things, and I think it's something that people should pay attention to if they're interested in sort of seeing and learning about the up-and-comers in our soccer community.
If you're just joining us, it's Tim Bezbachenko at TBez10 on Twitter. I think that's you, right?
That is me. I need to come up with a marketing or a Twitter strategy, but I'll take some tips from you.
Dude, you got to work some followers there. You got to get your marketing department on the caper here.
I think we need to make the playoffs first, and then I'll do that.
You need to go. I hope you make the playoffs. I think you're going to make the playoffs, but you need to get an alarm clock for your marketing department. Okay, just in terms of your like followers, like wakey wakey, kids. I thought it was a fake account because you don't even have an authorization. You don't even have an authentication. Like, I'm like, is that his account? And then I looked at it, and I'm like, yeah, all he does is talk about soccer, and he's not making fun of anybody, so it must be his account. But look, the final thing I want to ask you is transfer fees. In light of the $100 million Di Maria transfer fee, and you know, Tim Leiwicki and I were discussing this, and not that you're going to do this or you're thinking about doing it with Defoe, but right now you could probably sell Defoe for $15 million. And what do you think of the rise in transfer fees and the kind of money that's being thrown around? Where's the ceiling on this?
When I think about it, I mean, it's the market forces, right? And what you see is the teams that have the generating the revenue, they have the ability to go out and acquire talent at those levels. So, in North America, we manage that through salary caps and through collective bargaining agreements. Unfortunately or fortunately, depending on what side you take in the rest of the world, in Europe, it's not like that. So you see you have the haves and the have-nots. For me, I think that it's not great for the game to have sort of, a league where there's just a couple teams that really have any good shot at winning a championship. I think it's really neat in the NFL and in our league where, you could be the Green Bay Packers in the NFL, or you could be, the Columbus Crew or Real Salt Lake, where everyone has an equal opportunity to win the MLS championship each year. You still got to be smart. You got to be innovative. You got to acquire the right players and play a certain style of soccer. But everyone has a shot. It's not just who has the most money. It is a little worrisome. But at the same time, it's soccer's thriving around the world, and the whole game of soccer is becoming more popular. So something's going right.
Well, listen, the World Cup, that we just went through in the United States, with the way the media got behind it, the ratings for the final, never mind the U.S., the U.S. game, the ratings for the final were 30 million people when you factor in Univision. So soccer is no question exploding. Toronto FC has never had an issue with support, with fan support. And now that BMO Field's being expanded in a three-part expansion, we had Mark Grimes on the show the other day, counselor for Ward 6, talking about it. I don't think you're going to have any problem filling that place. But you know what? You make the playoffs and you become a team that makes the playoffs every year. It makes it a heck of a lot easier.
Yeah, and that's the goal. I mean, we really want to set ourselves on a path where we are a consistently in the playoffs. And you're right, the atmosphere at our fans, between our supporters groups, the Red Patch Boys, Youth Sector, there's a number of, other supporters groups that they really make the environment unique, something different in the sporting landscape in North America, in particular in Toronto. So, it, people should check it out. But, yeah, we're not concerned. We sold out every match this year. We have, a number of people coming each match. They're loud. They're boisterous. And I only expect that to get better, during this last stretch. So You know, the renovations are a positive thing. I think it's needed at BMO Field, and especially because I think we owe it to the fans to cover them somehow from the elements, because we've not had the best of luck in previous years, although this year it's been great. So we're excited about the renovations and about, you know, our supporters for sure.
Good luck this weekend against New England. You got 11 games left. You're in a playoff position now. I hope you hold on to it and actually gain some ground. Tim Bezbachenko, GM of the Toronto FC, thanks for doing this and have a great weekend.
You too, Joey. Thanks for having me.
Tim Bezbachenko, the general manager of the Toronto FC. The Red Patch Boys. I got to say, when you go down there, it's a heck of a lot of fun. And you feel like it's an environment where you actually bring your children. A lot of soccer games, the same can't be said. Joey Vendetta, 11:32, coming back. We'll be joined by a Canadian MMA legend on Sportsnet 550, The Fan.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Yo, maniacs, Hulk Hogan here, the greatest of all time, and I'm rocking and rolling with Sportsnet 590 The Fan with my main man, Joey Vendetta. So what you gonna do when the Fan 590 and Vendetta Mania run wild on you, brother?
Twenty minutes before Baseball Central at noon, your Toronto Blue Jays tonight. Three-game series with the Yankees. Derek Jeter, it's over. 20 years, 3,500 hits, or close. Batting average over 300. Surefire Hall of Famer. World Series titles. Fantastic off-field personal life. Not married. Rhymes with buried. Don't ever forget that. This weekend is going to be nice until Sunday when it might rain. But until then, get the Speedos going. Our next guest is a guy. It's rare that you can just say initials and we know who you're talking about, or you know who I'm talking about. We're joined now by GSP. George St. Pierre joins us on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Thanks a lot for doing this, George. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to have you. And You've got a body that most people would kill for. You're in such good shape. You take good care of yourself. You were part of a sport, and I know you've taken a bit of a sabbatical right now and haven't fought in a bit, but you're part of a sport that has incredible physical demands. And at what age did you start developing? You know, I know you're 33 years old, but at what age did you start developing your body? At what age did you realize that physical fitness was important for you?
It's part of my life. It's not. I don't wake up a day and I say and tell myself, "Oh, I have to do this." No, it's part of my natural routine of life. And if you see it, like, I never see working out as a job or as something that I dislike. I just see it as part of my life, you know, as much as breathing, eating, sleeping, exercising. For me, it's a natural thing. I start very young. I started the sport when I was a kid, and pretty much as soon as I could walk. And martial art, I would say, I started, I was like 7 years old. My dad taught me, and then at 9 years old, I started to go to a karate school and take it more seriously. And from there, you know, things went more and more serious.
So you're three-time welterweight champion of the UFC. And, you know, since you left the UFC, I don't know that the UFC has had a marketable in the way that you were marketable star. It's funny because there's, you know, you read a bunch of different articles, but there are many people online who suggest that the UFC and MMA needs a hero, and that George St. Pierre is the guy that needs to come back. And I won't say rescue it, but
no,
there's a gap since you left.
I don't consider myself, like, you know, there is a lot of good fighters there with good charisma, good role model. I've been there for quite a while, you know, even though I'm still young. I started my professional career at 19 years old. So even if I'm young, I'm 33 years old, I consider myself a little bit as a veteran, so to speak, you know. I've been in the sport for a long time. I did took time off now, but there is a lot of good guys, you know. It's just that I've been there for probably longer time than most of the guys, so I had more visibility, more, you know. People get to know me a little bit more, you know, so it makes it, it helps in terms of popularity, probably, you know, that's one of the main reasons. But I always try to carry myself well and be always as happy in my sport, also outside of my sport as a role model.
George St. Pierre is our guest, and we're talking about his career, and we're also talking about the GSP Rush Fit, which is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, George, it's the best-selling fitness program by a professional athlete ever. And it's based on a 5-minute intensity training program, which is pretty revolutionary. Tell me about the Rush Fit program.
Yeah, I wanted to create something that is authentic. And, you know, most of people, including myself, you know, we don't have all day to do things. And I'm, you know, working out. It's something pleasant for me. It's something that I really enjoyed, you know. So I don't need to really mind myself, so to speak, to do it, you know. But for most people, you know, they have to work. They have to go to work, for example, 9 to 5. And sometimes they have kids, you know. They have other things to do. They don't have the same free time that a professional athlete has. So I designed Rush Fit to make it something in a short amount of time with maximum efficiency to have maximum results for my fans, you know. And I like when my fans, you know, I walk in the street and people say to me, oh, you changed my life, you know, I lost weight because of you. And, you know, I like that just probably even more than someone walk to me and say, hey, good fight, when is the next fight? You know, someone who's a fan because of me fighting. But I like it even better when someone stop me in the street and tell me, like, oh, they are a fan because of my workout, you know. When someone congratulate me or say something good to me, it makes me feel much better because I feel like I did something well, you know, outside, not only a performance and entertain people, I do something well for people. So I really like also the feedback that I have and the workout that I created. I did something, you know, the best workout I could put on with my friend Eric Owing, you know, who's an incredible, not very knowledgeable man in the industry of fitness, to make sure, you know, people get the best they can have for the shorter amount of time.
Yeah, I mean it's called Rush Fit, and it's George St. Pierre with us, and it's actually part of a company that's on the TSX Digital Shelf Space, DSS on the TSX it trades under. But this is an interesting program from the standpoint. Look, I go to the gym every day and I spend an hour doing cardio, and this program, Rush Fit, can take what it takes you an hour to do and put it into 25 minutes. And I love the fact that you said you take great satisfaction when someone comes up to you and says, hey, you helped me lose weight, you helped me get in better shape, much, you know, even more so than someone talking about your fighting career. So talk about...
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's more, for me...
Satisfying, it's right?
It's more gratifying.
Yeah.
It's more gratifying. You feel you change people's lives. And you make them feel happy, you know. You make them feel, you change their life, you know. So it's nothing more gratifying than this.
So again, the company that it's part of is Digital Shelf Space. It's GSP's 5-minute intensity training. It's called Rush Fit. And look, George, before we let you go, thanks a lot for doing this. But before we let you go, we know you have a ton of fans in the UFC and MMA. In the future, any thoughts of coming back and competing again? Or are you just enjoying things the way they are now?
People know, like, you know, I've been a little very vocal. One of the reasons, many reasons why I took a retire, but main reason, you know, I've been very vocal about it. And the use of a performance enhancing drug. And you know, for me, I'm not going to lie, you know, I'm lucky, you know, in a way that I had the opportunity in life, you know, and I took it, and I had great people that helped me through my career. Without them, I would never have been there. And I make a lot of money, and I'm very happy because I don't need to fight, you know, for a living, you know. But a lot of people are a little bit, you know, a prisoner of the system. You know, they need to fight, you know, and they need to compete in order to make a living. But what I'm saying is, I don't need to fight anymore. And for me, if that one of the reasons why I stopped it was, like I said, the performance enhancing drug. And it was important for me that if I ever come back, you know, because when you fight, you put your well-being on the line, and you put your life, your health. If you lose a race or any other sport, like a game sport, if you lose, you lose. You know, it sucks, but you don't put your life on the line. But in full contact sport, you put your well-being on the line. You know, you can be very badly hurt. So that's one of the very important things for me. And now I'm glad to hear that things are starting to change. And, you know, the organization, the UFC, you know, is the most prestigious organization in the sport. And I believe they're going to take it to another level, too, you know, to make better and better testing for the athlete. So, you know, and it's all time, you know. I believe it was something that was supposed to happen a long time ago, but it's a new sport. So things are moving on slowly, slower than the popularity of the sport. So it's a lot of things to be done to catch up. And but it's a good news, you know. It's something that it's gonna happen. I believe in a few. I heard about Mark Raffner, who's a man who worked for the UFC, you know, told me. So we'll see what's gonna happen, you know. And from there, maybe you know, who knows? Maybe I'll start hitching again, and I'll make a comeback. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Everybody loves a comeback, George. Thanks a lot for doing this. Once again, the company Digital Shelf Space is on the TSX. It's DSS. It's called Rush Fit. George St. Pierre, a true pleasure. Thanks a lot for doing this, man.
Thank you very much.
That was great. George St. Pierre talking about maybe making a comeback. It's been a great week. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to Jeff Blair for letting me do this. He's coming up next on Baseball Central with Barks. Kevin Barker, our guest today. Jeff Garcia, thank you. LeSean McCoy, Tim Bezbachenko, Ty Domi, Scott McKay, Mike Wildner, David Clarkson, Hulk Hogan. And thanks to our fabulous producers, Dylan Brown, Travis McKenzie, Rachel Clemens, and Andrew Nye. And thank you very much for listening.